Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news this ninth day of July, 2018.
Breaking news number one. Regional airlines hurt by worsening pilot shortage. It should be a national concern, by Chris Van Cleve, CBS News. Arlington, Virginia, where a major airline needs a pilot to fly planes, they often look to the regional airlines. But when pilots for small commuter planes move over to the majors, it's getting harder to find their replacements. Since 2013, Yuma, Arizona, a largely agricultural region of about 200,000, has seen airline departures drop more than 50%. Now the only flights out go to Phoenix. The Yuma to Phoenix route is operated by a regional carrier, just like 42% of the nation's air service. The smaller airlines are being hurt by pilot retirements and the expansion of bigger carriers. Recent studies predict a shortage of more than 14,000 pilots by 2026. See more on newsletter Jan-June 2018. Norma Jean, are you there? Breaking news number two. Delta begins flying the Airbus A350 from Los Angeles today, Forbes.com, by Eric Rosen, contributor. Since Delta debuted the concept, it had designed for new business class suites aboard its order of 25 Airbus A350 jets in August of 2016, the airline has steadily been taking delivery of the new jets and deploying them on routes from its hub at Detroit, Michigan Metropolitan Airport, that's DTW, and Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson at ATL. The Delta A350 makes its LA debut today. However, on Monday, flyers from another Delta hub will be able to experience a new jet in the new Delta One suite, as well as a new premium economy section called Premium Select. See more on our newsletter, Jan-June 2018.
Breaking news number three. Boeing 777 main gear breaks, by Russ Niles of AWeb. Operators of Boeing 777 will likely be taking a close look at the landing gear on their aircraft after an unusual accident at Narita Airport in Japan on Friday. A Korean Air 777-300 was taxiing to the gate when the axle holding the rear set of wheels on the main gear broke. The wheels folded up into themselves and the aircraft grounded to a halt. The rear set of wheels touched first on landing because the gear is actuated at the strut and angles rearward in the air. There were no injuries, but passengers and crew had to leave the aircraft via air stairs. See more of this on newsletter January to June 2018. Chuck.
Neil, Chuck, Mike.
Yes, I'm on.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Chuck.
Transcend Air Corporation has announced that it has begun developing a six-seat vertical takeoff and landing, a VTOL, concept designed to carry business travelers between major cities. The Transcend Air VY400 will be piloted by a turbine-powered model intended for 4 to 5 passengers. The company also says it has plans to launch a commuter airline service in early 2024. This is necessary to transformulate additions to city-to-city transportation options, said Transcend CEO Greg Brunell. See more on newsletter Jan-June 2018.
Jim Hart, coming to you live from the island of Martha's Vineyard here in Massachusetts. Along with our other hosts at different locations, we want to welcome and thank you for listening and calling the show. You have truly made us the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. We'd love to hear your comments and share your memories with radio listeners from around the world. During the broadcast, if you haven't called the show before, all you have to do is to call 213-816-1611 and just say, howdy, to talk with us on the air live. We'll see if we can find an interpreter if we have to, or I'll just try it myself. We can identify many countries around the world who listen in with our Blog Talk radio application. Isn't it great that we can keep the Eastern legacy going out to not only the Eastern family, but to listeners from many different countries around the world? That's what we try to do every week on the EAL Radio Show. Won't you join us by adding your voice to these broadcasts? We'd love to hear from you. Our thanks also to those who choose to listen by computer using the radio icon on our homepage at www.ealradioshow.com, or perhaps by signing in at the site of our provider, Blog Talk Radio, at www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. Should you wish to talk during our live broadcast, feel free to use our call-in number, 213-816-1611 at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Let me repeat the number so you can write it down for your Monday night visit, 213-816-1611. Tell your friends about us, please. And don't forget, you can listen to any of our 370 Monday night broadcasts and 60 Thursday broadcasts by simply going to blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie and scrolling down through the archive of broadcasts. Each episode is briefly described. Our lines are always open for calls, and if you choose not to participate and talk live with your host, we ask that you please mute your phone, as our producer does not have the capability of filtering out background noises. Now, Mr. Producers, I see you are number one in the lineup for takeoff from Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson International. So let's get flight episode 373 in the air.
Eastern 373, the winds are from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. You're cleared for takeoff, runway 9 left.
Roger, Eastern 373 is on the roll.
Here's an Eastern.
You know,
commercial.
Ladies and gentlemen, from
Here's an
Maverick.
Commercial.
Feel the second, feel each minute. As the day goes by, feel yourself in it. It's a good day to up and fly away. It's so easy to do. Eastern's got the right time.
Jim Hart,
well,
take it away.
Thank you, Neil. From, ladies and gentlemen, from fabric to metal fuselage and wings, changes were rapidly occurring in aviation. From the pioneering days of the male wings to the Curtiss Condors and the Kingbirds of the introduction of the Douglas DC-2 and all-metal aircraft, enabled Eastern Air Transport to cut the scheduled time from the northeast of Florida to just about 8 hours. Shortly after, the Douglas DC-3 arrived on the Eastern property, giving Eastern the title of its fleet of aircraft, the Great Silver Fleet. The year was 1935, and to market the new speedier aircraft, this song was introduced. From Floss to Flowers in just 8 hours.
Let's take a plane, laugh at snow, storms, and rain to Miami, where life is so tame. You fly from frost to flowers in just 8 hours when you travel Eastern's great silver. The clouds a byway when you take heaven's highway. In a moment, your fondest dreams complete. You fly from frost to flowers in just 8 hours when you travel on the great silver
fleet. Dorothy.
The DC-3 was introduced into service December 18, 1936, until the last DC-3 took flight in Eastern's passenger service. The airline would eventually own and operate 90 of these aircraft, which included the DC-3 DST, the Douglas Sleeper Transport. By 1940, the eastern skies of the United States were full of Eastern Airlines DC-3s. The fleet was not as large as American's, but almost as large as United's or TWA's, and it was concentrated in a smaller area. In particular, it was offering more than 30 flights a day between New York's two airports, LaGuardia and Newark, in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. George?
Silver. Hello?
George, go ahead.
Yeah, the Way of the Great Silver Fleet is a route infinitely varied in character. It's an airline serving directly 47 cities in 16 states, an area entirely east of the Rockies, at the time containing 85% of the nation's population. These states were as varied as to history, traditions, commercial enterprises, natural resources, and contemporary culture. The work of their fields and factories and the life of their homes and schools and churches and parks contributed vitally to the orchestral crescendo that is the voice of America. Chuck?
Contrast Broadway, canyons among skyscrapers, to Miami's placid Biscayne Boulevard. Compare the metropolitan skylines that have sprung up from the hot Texas plains to the quiet agrarian communities of the Southeast, where generations of Americans had lived close to the soil near the beginning of the United States as a nation. Observe the industrial spirit stirring the South. Once dominated by cotton and tobacco culture, the new South is surging with factories pouring forth fabrics, shoes, and a meridian of things of heavy industry that go to make life in America better.
91% of the company's route mileage is below the Mason-Dixon line. Therefore, the South's destinies are the fortunes of Eastern Airlines. Eastern Airlines is also interested in that South, which lies south of the South, being Latin America. For more than a decade, the air commerce of South America has winged its way up the East Coast of South America by Pan American Airways, connecting with the Great Silver Fleet at Miami for a relay northward. With the extension of service to Brownsville, Texas, Eastern Airlines' role in international air transport was expanded. Passengers board luxurious silver sleepers at New York shortly after dinner, arrived thoroughly refreshed the next morning at Brownsville, passed through customs in plane by Pan American Airways, and arrived in Mexico City in time for lunch.
The paradox of Eastern Airlines serving principally the South is not completed until it is realized the company serves also the Midwest. Prophets might with good assurance say that company's future expansion doubtless will extend even greater services to the Midwest, practically lose those cities which now traffic in commerce of the ancient Mississippi. Our fast silver wings have struck the triangular area extending from New York to both coast cities in Florida, New Orleans, Houston, San Antonio, and on south to Chicago and Memphis, and on the west, the size of the state of Pennsylvania, when judged by time.
The climate of the area traversed by the Great Silver Fleet ranges from temperate to semi-tropical. Our swift wings make these climates and their variegated locales almost as accessible as one room in your house to another. Recreation everywhere has always varied with this locale. Snow invites skiing. Attractive bodies of water always suggest aquatic sports and fishing. Because Eastern Airlines territory is continuous to the finest game fishing waters on this planet. We have yet to speak for the piscatorial resources of other planets. It is not surprising that thousands of persons use the Great Silver Fleet each year to communicate to the fishing grounds.
Americans being the gregarious folks they are, it was inevitable that these commuting fishermen should demand that a club be organized to recognize their fishing via air exploits. To this end, the Flying Fishermen Club was formed and an annual trophy competition was devised. Since the club's inception, the Rickenbacker trophies have become famous wherever game fishermen discuss fishing, which is particularly everywhere.
Money cannot buy a membership in the Flying Fishermen Club. To belong, you must fly to or from Florida, Texas, or other points along the Gulf as an Eastern Airlines passenger on a fishing trip and catch a fish, legitimately, ethically, with rod and reel. Specifically, the fish must be a tarpon, marlin, sailfish, bonefish, or tuna, measured, weighed, and certified by a guide, boat captain, or other person authorized by Eastern Airlines, who will record for you on an application form the necessary details. Your flight steward will hand you the application upon request. Your catch will be registered with the club, and you will be sent a handsome framed certificate signifying membership. On May 1st of each year, all catches registered by club members during the previous 12 months are compared for weight. To the club members who catch the largest fish in its class, Eastern Airlines awards the Rickenbacker trophies, sailfish, and tarpon. These trophies become the permanent property of the member winning for the third time. Handsome desk trophies also are awarded winners in the marlin, tuna, and bonefish divisions of the competition. So what will you have?
Norma Jean, are you with us?
Yes, I had an emergency. So what will you have? Warm, balmy breezes or tingling winter hours on a mountain slope? Tarpon and sailfish or fighting Canadian salmon? Golf or tobogganing? Sailing or skating? Tropical moonlight or the gay white way? Each is yours to command with Eastern Airlines, your high road to pleasure land.
Eastern Airlines' phenomenal growth during the past decade springs not only from the dramatic strides made by the air transport industry as a whole, but also from the vital economic progress enjoyed by the South. On May 1, 1928, Pitcairn Aviation, the mother company of Eastern Airlines, began its operations flying mail only from New York to Atlanta, a 792-mile route. Company personnel consisted of a large 41 employees. The mail was flown in small single-motor Pitcairn mail wings with a payload capacity of 350 pounds. Flying aids such as ground lights were few and aircraft radio was yet unproven. Within 2 years, Eastern Air Transport Incorporated, the successor company, had trained a flying personnel which, for skill, deliberate judgment, and efficiency, was second to none in the world. Chuck?
With the appearance of aircraft equal to the task of flying passengers, the company management entered into this phase of air transport with the utmost conservatism. A policy of operating multi-motor aircraft only on passenger service was adopted at the onset. At no time has the company deviated from this policy. The company dispatched the first scheduled flight to leave North Beach Airport, now New York Municipal Airport, LaGuardia Field, on August 18, 1930. Since that time, Eastern Airlines has won the coveted Major Safety Award of the National Safety Council repeatedly. This is the only major company to be so recognized each year since the inception of the award. Two-thirds of Eastern Airlines captains are million milers. The company ranks second from standpoint of route miles of commercial airlines in the United States. Don?
The flight steward who contributes to your comfort on this flight is a member of a highly trained corps of young men whose skill in the passenger cabin have been enriched as a result of considerable experience in other aspects of personal service. In America, the profession is unique. Eastern Airlines is the only domestic airline offering this superior flight service, flight steward service. What about operating the technique of Eastern Airlines? And why has its superiority become so well known throughout the world? Let us speak, invaluable commodity for those who no adequate substitute have been devised. That's called experience.
Blind flying instruments were installed in Eastern Airlines cockpit mail planes in the early days of airmail flying, and the pilots of the Great Silver Fleet have been constantly trained in the art of instrument flying since that time. Today, every route of the Great Silver Fleet has a full complement of radio ranges, radio markers, radio airport localizers, airways lights, beacons, and in every ship, a full complement of radio receivers and transmitting and blind flying instruments. because of their perfected skills and ideals, thoroughness, Eastern Airlines engine and airplane maintenance technicians have earned the highest possible praise for their work, the complete competence of flying personnel. Eastern Airlines maintains a separate inspection department that does nothing but inspect at regular intervals. The inspectors are not former workmen, but men promoted to the rank of inspector with nothing to do but inspect. All overhaul and maintenance operations are carried on by specialized departments staffed with expert technical men whose lives have been spent in study and practice of their particular work. Eastern Airlines schedules are set to permit operation of the planes at only 50% of full power rating. This means more efficient maintenance and also ensures an adequate reserve against engine wear, all of which guarantees greater safety.
Eastern Airlines captains and pilots are also maintained scientifically. For this job, Captain E.V. Rickenbacker, President and General Manager of Eastern Airlines, appointed Dr. Ralph Green, the daddy of all flight surgeons. And as a result, Aeromedical Department founded by Dr. Green was the first department of its kind in the world to be supported by a commercial airline. The ultra-modern methods of this department are assurance that the captain and the pilot are in peak physical condition. The meteorologists who forecast the flight conditions for your trip are skilled specialists. They keep your captains thoroughly informed as to weather phenomena along the airways that you are flying. At all times, we invite your questions concerning flight conditions and any and all aspects of the operations and traffic departments of Eastern Airlines.
Well, welcome aboard the Great Silver Fleet. My name is Eddie Rickenbacker, and I'm president of Eastern Airlines. As our passenger, we wish to provide you with something more than swift air transportation. We want to cater to your comfort. We want to make your trip restful and relaxing, completely convenient in every respect, from making a reservation to arriving at your final destination. We have prepared a booklet to help us serve you best. On these pages are described the various services available to you. We sincerely want you to avail yourself at the added convenience, pleasure, and comfort they offer. You're welcome to take the booklet with you when you reach your destination, whether it's your first trip with us or you're an Eastern commuter. We are so happy to be able to serve you. We would like you to feel at home during every minute of your time with us. You're always welcome aboard the Eastern Great Silver Fleet. Now I've asked your crew to tell you more about Eastern and the service we offer. Captain Jim, would you take over from here, please?
Thank you, Captain Eddie. The airlines of the nation did more than bring the speed of flight to the American traveling public. They set new standards of transportation, convenience, and comfort by establishing personalized service for every passenger at no extra charge. To the public, this meant traveling in luxurious and spotlessly clean accommodation, lounge-type chairs in which to relax in solid comfort, and, most important, constant attention to the personal comfort and well-being of every passenger from the ticket office to the destination. In the future, as airlines expand to carrying millions of passengers on daily flights over an aerial network that links every community of the nation, this personalized service will not only be maintained but improved. Eastern Airlines, in particular, is determined to give its passengers the finest possible service at all times. Flight Attendant Dorothy, would you be so kind as to tell our passengers more about our service?
Certainly, Jim. Thank you. The type of service that distinguishes travel on the Great Silver Fleet is as much a part of Eastern Airlines as the planes in which our passengers ride. For years, the employees of Eastern have been trained in our special training schools to perform their individual tasks in such a manner as to render the greatest possible service to passengers, from the girl who sells your ticket to the man who cleans out the plane or the stewardess who serves you aloft and the captain who pilots your plane. Every member of the Great Silver Fleet organization is pledged to passenger service first. Our only pleasure in offering special little attentions and extra considerations for your comfort, convenience, and welfare is in having you take full advantage of them. Of course, we're proud that these services distinguish Eastern Airlines as the finest in air travel, but we tell you about them for quite another reason, much more important to us. We want you to enjoy all of these services. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to relax and take it easy. It's our job to do all the travel detail worrying for you. We've arranged it so that there isn't a thing for you to fret about when you travel by Eastern. Here to tell you about reservation is Miss Norma Jean Borger. Norma Jean?
Thank you, Dorothy. Reservations, for instance. This is a simple matter. Just phone the local number of Eastern Airlines and tell them where you want to go and when, and they'll do the rest. Specially trained Eastern men and women are at your service night and day to help you plan your travel by air. Even if your destination is not on the route of the Great Silver Fleet, Eastern will help you make your reservations and plan your entire trip. During these busy travel days, idea to phone as far in advance as possible. We find we can with us on the exact trip that we'd planned. We'll call you as far ahead of time as possible so that you could make other arrangements if necessary. If you find it impossible to pick up your reservation, we ask you to please notify us about it as soon as possible. Air travel plan, naturally you don't want to carry sizable sums of money when you're on an extended trip. If you have an air travel card, you can go to any Eastern Airlines ticket office anywhere. Get your ticket and say, charge it. Just phone your local Eastern Airlines office and they'll send an application for your air travel card to you in the next mail. We have Mr. Don Gagnon from our ground service team. He will tell you all about your luggage and how it will be handled. Don?
Well, thank you, Norma Jean. We have made it a very easy and simple way. Just pack your luggage. We'll take care of it from the time you leave until you get to the ticket counter or the airport terminal. We'll weigh it, then check it before you leave and deliver it to you when your flight arrives. Every piece will be carefully tagged to prevent its being removed at an intermediate station along the way. You are, of course, given a claim check for each piece of luggage. You will be permitted to carry 40 pounds of luggage free on your first ticket. That's more than average in a well-packed suitcase. Additional luggage will be carried a special rate of rate per pound, or we'll arrange to send it to you by express or freight, if you prefer. And talking about weight, the reason why the girl behind the ticket counter asks you how much you weigh is because she has to figure the plane load factor correctly.
And Don, once our passengers arrive at their destination, they will be asked at the time you make your reservations whether you wish transportation to the airport for departure. When you check in at the flight time, you will also be asked if you wish transportation from the airport to the business district of your destination. Eastern Airlines has arranged with outside companies for this special transportation service in all cities along the route of the Great Silver Fleet. Special low-cost rates will apply. If you're providing your own transportation to the airport, please make it a point to arrive at least 10 minutes before takeoff time. You can check in at either the airport or the Eastern Airlines City ticket office. We'll be sure to ask you which one you prefer. Sometimes weather conditions may force us to interrupt your trip. And if that happens, we'll put you on the very next flight. If we can, or if we not, or if we prefer, we will obtain the best train accommodation possible for you. Not only buying your ticket, but refunding any unused amount over the train fare. And if there's a wait over, we'll arrange for hotel accommodations for one day at our expense. Leaving the country and you're thinking of flying to foreign shores, Eastern Airlines will help you with information about passports, visas, currency regulations, and many other requirements which may perplex international air travelers. We are experts on travel to other lands, so do not hesitate to ask for our help and advice. Mike?
Okay. I'll be working with a captain to make your trip as enjoyable as possible. If there's anything you'd like, just press the button above your seat. It will sound a chime and summon the Eastern Airlines flight attendant to your side, ready to serve you. Please don't hesitate about sounding the chime to serve you. Sounding the chime. If there's something you want, Eastern Airlines flight attendants are happy to be of assistance. If you feel like having a little nap, the flight attendant will bring you a pillow, and if you like, a soft, warm blanket. Your pilots will make a flight. The flight is smooth as we can by choosing the smoothest altitude and route possible. And if you'd like to tilt the seat back a bit, just press the button or lever on the arm of the chair and push back. If you want information, your flight attendant is always ready to answer questions on almost every subject, from where we are now to what makes the airplane fly. At frequent intervals throughout your flight, the pilots will prepare flight reports containing such interesting facts as the altitude at which your plane is flying, the name of the city which we're over or passing, airspeed and ground speed and outside air temperature, etc. These reports are available for your interest and information. Your flight attendants will show you these reports and to all passengers, but if you should miss seeing one, please ask for it.
And Mike, I want to remind our passengers that chewing gum is an excellent way to relieve the feeling of ear pressure caused by altitude. Your flight attendant has some for you. If that doesn't work, try a big yawn. Want to write a letter? Your flight attendant will provide you with attractive flight stationery, envelopes, and a special writing pad. If you're going to use your fountain pen, please take care how you open it. Some pens are apt to drip at higher altitudes, so open your pen with a point up, or better still, play safe by asking your flight attendant to open it for you.
Want to send a telegram? Your flight attendant will provide you with blanks and send the wire for you at the next station stop. We are unable to send radio messages for you from the ship because the ship-to-ground radio channels are crowded, plus the fact that government regulations restrict the use of our radio communications to official airline messages. There's a reading rack in front of the cabin. There you'll find the latest issues of magazines, newspapers, and timetables, even of other airlines, in case you want to check connections. You're invited to step up and make your own selections. But if you're too comfortable where you are, just ask your flight attendant to bring you the magazine or the paper that you prefer. There's a private reading lamp right over your seat. Light it at any time you wish. It can't disturb your fellow passengers because the specifically focused beam is directly just for your eyes.
Do you feel like having a cigarette? Go right ahead. You'll find an ashtray in the end of the armrest. No smoking is permitted while the ship is on the ground or while making a takeoff or landing. Just watch for the no smoking sign. Do you want to stretch your legs? Walk around the cabin as much as you like, except during takeoffs and landings, of course. You might even ask the flight attendant to show you Eastern's flying galley. If you haven't seen it, you'll find this amazing. This kitchen of the air is very interesting. It's all right to go out for a breather at station stops, but don't wander off too far. And to reserve your seat, just drop the occupied sign into your chair. You can't be happy if you're hungry, and Eastern Airlines intends to keep you happy. Breakfast, luncheon, or dinner time, you will be served a complete and delicious meal with the compliments of Eastern. Eastern Special Flying Galley makes it possible to serve you fresh, wholesome foods piping hot.
Or if you'd like a pick-me-up between meals, such as a cup of fragrant hot coffee or tasty hot chocolate or steaming tea, your flight attendant will immediately bring it to you. There's a fountain at the rear of the cabin where you can help yourself to refreshing ice-cold water. You can get some fresh air instantly by a quick adjustment of the little air inlet directly over your seat. Just pull the gadget out, then point the opening directly at yourself and or forward. The flight attendant will adjust it for you if you'd like. If the inside climate is too hot or too cold, tell your flight attendant, who will adjust the climate at once. Dorothy?
Your flight attendant has quite a way with babies. If the baby's bottle needs warming, just sound the chime. Babies under 2 years of age are allowed to travel with you free of charge. That means one baby may ride free on every adult ticket. There's a spick and span washroom aboard, and it's all yours anytime you wish to use it. You'll find it at the rear of the cabin. It has everything for your comfort and convenience, including cleansing lotion for the ladies. Whatever you need, whether it's aspirin, fizz drinks, matches, needle and thread, just press the magic button for your flight attendant. We nearly always can supply your needs.
Note to camera fans, now you can take all the pictures you like. You just can't beat some of the marvelous views from the airplane. Great cities, rivers, mountain ranges, by all means, take your camera aboard. When the sign in the front of the cabin says, fasten your seatbelts, please follow the suggestion. We ask you to do this for your comfort while the ship is taking off or landing. And when the smoking sign comes on, no smoking, please put out your cigarette after taking that last puff. This is a federal safety regulation, and we know you want to help us enforce it. And please remember, no tipping of our personnel is permitted. It is a pleasure for all of us at Eastern Airlines to be at your service.
Captain Jim, we have all 21 seats occupied, and I have done a check of the cabin.
Well, thanks, Miss Barbara.
Sir, a man holding up two fingers for the engine two to start.
Roger that. Clear on number two.
Great discussion, folks. A great show. And I'd like to tell you that the material that you heard tonight was found in an Eastern, most of it was found in an Eastern timetable dating back to 1945.
Wow.
And of course, we went from the fabric airplanes, as Jim earlier mentioned, to those that were mostly metal, had some fabric parts to the airplane, especially around the tail section, the rudder and the elevators, but mostly all metal, and I guess that's where we got the name the Great Silver Fleet. And someone asked, what does this Great Silver Fleet include? Well, we had such airplanes as the Ford Trimotor, we had the Electra 10, which was an airplane that Amelia Earhart tried to circumnavigate the world. And we had, of course, the DC-2, the DC-3, and then came the 4 and the 6, DC-4 and 6, and then the Constellation. When the DC-7 was entered into service, the name for the DC-7 was changed to the Golden Falcon. Now, let's have a discussion about what was said tonight, and it was very interesting as the marketing ideas and the way they put it in the booklet and to have people understand about the flight itself, I think was really good back in the day. And of course, now everything is television and news media. Anyone like to make comments?
Yeah, Neil, this is Jim. I remember when I was district manager of Washington, D.C., the Home Office called me and asked me to come in and work with them. The thing is that I was sharing a home. I should say Allegheny Airlines manager in Washington was moving to Hartford. So he lived in my home in Hartford. I lived in his in Alexandria. But when the Home Office called me, I let him know. He moved out and I went back to Hartford. Then I said to the Home Office, hey, folks, I don't have enough equity in my home up here. I just can't sell it and move. I said, would you allow me to go to Bradley Field? There's a DC-7 leaving at 7 o'clock every morning to Newark. I said, I can be on that airplane. They said, go and do it. Then, you know, for about 3 years, I was able to board that DC-7 in the morning, and the flight attendants had my Danish pastry and my coffee all warm and ready for me. I got to Newark. I took bus number 107 to the Port Authority building, and I walked over to 10 Rockefeller Plaza. What a beautiful time.
Wow. Okay.
Nice story.
That sounds great.
You guys remember where the ashtrays were in the Great Silver Fleet? Do you remember where they were?
Yes.
Yes, they were in
the seat
arms.
In the, okay, in the arms, yeah.
In the armrest.
Yep. Let me tell you.
I have cleaned 100,000 of them.
Let me tell you a little thing that happened to those ashtrays. The mechanics were required when we put the seats in the airplanes in overhaul down in Miami to pitch the seats. That means the amount of leg room you have between one seat and the other seat. And to do that, back then you had to have 27 inches. So rather than sit there with a slide ruler and everything else, they came up with this idea that if you took the front of the ashtray and put the little end of your slide ruler with it, you know, the little yo-yo thing, and went up to the front of the next ashtray, it happened. That's where 27 inches was, and that's where you locked the seats down. Unfortunately, as time went by, they got rid of the ashtray.
So the ashtray was basically a benchmark, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting that we did have cigarettes smoking. As a matter of fact, the Eastern encouraged it by doing what? Anyone want to answer?
They put the little four packs of Winston in your tray.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that, you remember that and the Chiclets.
And the Chiclets, I remember that. Yeah, I forgot all about them, Mike.
Well, Neil, you know.
Go ahead, Jim Owner.
I was sitting there listening to all these things and the smoking and the freshwater faucet in the rear of the airplane and all that kind of stuff. The flight attendant be glad to do this and be glad to do that. I don't think there was a single thing that we read tonight that happens now except fashion. You see, I think every single thing that we is gone. it's gone.
I think you're right.
You're right.
Captain sending reports back to the passengers, you know, and if you don't get one, ask him to send one back. I'll tell you.
I'd like to get in an airplane and ask them if I'm going from Miami to New York, can I have the New York Times and see what they say to you.
You know, Jim, you got a point there. We really catered to the passenger in those days.
Yes.
We really did.
There's also a time when I could fly and get a pillow and a blanket. And now when you ask them, they say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't give those out anymore. But if you want to purchase one, you can buy one. You can purchase one. So one time I was really freezing on a flight, and they gave me one of those crinkly silver blankets, I guess that you call it. It's in the package, and they're very thin, and you open them up. Well, that's great, and they might keep you warm, but it sure makes a passenger next year listen to all the crinkles, and it was terrible. But that goes, this kind of service that you used to have compared to what you have right now.
Yeah, Don.
One of my segments that I read tonight was concerning checking baggage. And I want to tell everybody and anybody that's worked customer service at the airport in baggage service, as it was called, and this is any airline, that is the most thankless, hardest job in the world. Because everybody that walks into that lost baggage office is mad.
Yeah.
I mean, they are ready to kill anything and anything in front of them.
Well, that's why they all have a shirt with a target on it.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I had that duty for a while, and it was bad.
God, tell them their bag's lost, and you're going to pay them $100.
Didn't you ever use that AK-47 they gave you?
Well, I can remember one time I was flying on American Air, and when I got to, I think it was probably Puerto Vallarta, I went to get my suitcase, and it wasn't on the rack. So I waited, and I went to another place, and then they send you another place. Well, long story short, as I finally got to the place that had my bag, it was all broken up, had stains all over it. They must have thrown it at some point. The vitamins were all my vitamins were all over the place. You had the perfumes had broken through. They were all over the vitamins and all of the stuff that was in there. The makeup was all ruined, and the whole bag was just stained. And the guy says, sorry.
I'm sorry.
If you want to make a claim, you can make a claim. So I certainly did because it happened to be. I mean, I truly had a beautiful bag by, I can't remember the name, but it was a very expensive bag. And I truly had that kind of a bag, and it cost a bundle. It was the one and only time I ever bought beautiful luggage, and I can't believe the shape it was in. It ruined it. I couldn't use it again, obviously. I had to throw everything in the bag away. And they
used to have the Samsonite baggage.
No, it wasn't even Samsonite. I can't think of the name of it. It was very exclusive. And it was expensive, very expensive. I can't believe it.
I knew some ramp service guys that could take a 40-pound bag and throw it 30 feet in the air. Up into the bin.
This one was one of them.
One thing you didn't want to do is put fragile on anything. Don't mark it fragile.
Or this
that's
side
a
up.
To kill.
You got somebody that's going to stand up for the baggage people. I had the same thing, didn't have the bag waiting for me, and we waited and waited. And finally, the lady at the claim office says, well, we'll try to find it and get it to you. And I figured, well, that was the end of it, and I took the form with me to fill out because I knew they weren't going to get my bag. Do you know, we got into around 6 o'clock, about 10 o'clock that night, here comes a knock at the door, and here's a guy from Eastern Airlines with my bags.
Oh,
he'd driven all the way from from Atlanta Airport all the way to Jonesboro, which is down the road a ways.
That gives me an
idea,
Chuck. Maybe we ought to do a show how a bag departs point A and arrives at point B.
Sometimes it's a ride.
It would be a very interesting show.
Does anybody remember that comedian Richard Brenner?
Yeah.
Well, he was on a Johnny Carson show one night, and he said that he wanted to, when he went to the ticket counter, he wanted to buy a ticket to wherever his bag was going to go. And then another one that he did was, he said he went to the ticket counter one day, and he said, "I got three bags here." He says, "I want one to go to Chicago, I want one to go to Detroit, and I want the other one to go to St. Louis." He says, "We can't do that." He says, "Why not? You did it last week."
that's what I was trying to bring out, guys.
We got to
these things do happen.
Yeah.
There's one about the baggage handler that said, "Look at that sign on there. What is a fragile?"
Fragile.
Fragile.
Neil, on another note, we had been talking about the Flying Fisherman Club there.
Yeah.
I have in my collection one of the little plaques. It was never used. I got it on eBay some years back. It's a little plaque. It's stuck on my whole wall with all of the brochures from the Flying Fisherman. It's about maybe 5 by 4.5 inches, and it's a stainless steel plaque, and it certifies that the captain of whatever boat this is issued to is legal to, if the fishermen come onto his boat and he catches a fish which is a contender, he's able to weigh it and measure it, I guess, to be legal, because he's got the plaque in his boat, so he could be so that the fisherman could be a contender. But they were all nailed in the boat somewhere.
Yeah, George, did you ever enter
one of those?
Fisherman?
No, I think that was before my time, Neil.
Okay.
George hasn't seen my. I got to get George over here to see my museum.
Be sure to show him the plaque, so he knows what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, I could take a picture of it and email it to you, Neil.
We'll put it on the website.
Yeah.
How's that?
Invite me over there, Mike, and I'll take it from you with no problem.
Well, I charge an admission to get in, so, you know. It's,
well,
I just remembered what my baggage was. It was a Hartman luggage. That's what it was. You know, the tweed Hartman luggage that they used to have, or they probably still have it. Very expensive, about $500 for that. Well, that's the one I had that ruined.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I remember the commercial on TV where these gorillas were in the cage, and they had a bag.
Oh, yeah.
Suitcase, and they were throwing it around and stepping on it, stomping on it, and it was a Samsonite. It was a Samsonite.
A red Samsonite.
By the way, all bags that are lost are all Louis Vuittons.
Not mine.
So when they were throwing that bag around in that commercial with the Samsonite, we were all joking about that back in those days. But the only thing missing was the gorilla was not wearing an Eastern Airlines ramp service uniform.
Oh, golly.
Neil?
Yeah, we'll have to do a baggage. I want to get to a story that Jim Holder told me the other day on the phone that we were chatting, and I thought it was we ought to talk about it, Jim. Would you tell us about it? A great discussion, by the way, for the Great Silver Fleet. But, Jim, we got time. Go ahead.
Well, I told you I'd just do it if dead air is here. If we got dead air,
I'll go ahead.
We got dead air. All right. So it ain't got anything to do with bags of flying, I don't think. Let me think here. Anyhow, it's something. I got to tell you a little prelude first. I finished college in 1960 and got accepted into pilot training, and I thought I was going to be going in about 4 months to Craig Air Force Base, but as it turned out, it was in March of 61, and I had to get some kind of job or something, you know. And so I got a Christmas flunky job at Warlines for Music in Jackson, Mississippi, where I would greet people and tell them, go over yonder. I don't know anything about pianos, or go over yonder. I don't know anything about organs, but, you know, at least I was there to shake the hands and greet them when they came in. Well, at the front of the store was a lady. There was a desk where you could buy phonograph records, 45s, 33 and a third, and all that. And when things got a little dull, I'd go over there and sit and talk to her. She had a son who was in my high school graduating class. And her name was Ruby. And we would talk and talk and, you know, and just what's going on. And she was I had an unhappy marriage and whatnot. And then I told her I was going to pilot training. And she said, well, you know, a long time ago, I used to know a pilot. And I lived down in South Mississippi, and we lived out in the country, and this guy would fly his guinea or whatever it was or something. He would come in, and he would land in the pastures, and I'd take a picnic lunch out, and I'd know he was coming. My daddy didn't know anything about it, and we would have a good time. And, this went on for some period of time. And, you know, she got that wistful look in her eye, like what could have been or something like that. And I said, well, Ruby, that's a nice story. You know, I just can see it, you know, and now, but I know you're unhappy and all that kind of stuff. And so I go to work for Eastern Airlines, and I get into Chicago, and then they cut Chicago in half, and I got sent to New York, and I had a wife and Bailey, my son, Michael. When we were trying to find a place, they went down to Pascagoula, where my wife was from, and I would fly down there and see them whenever I had time off. So this one particular day, I went out to the airport, and 727, going from Kennedy to Atlanta, and then I was going to get on an airplane in Eastern down to Mobile. So I go out and introduce myself and come in, and captain's sitting there in the cockpit, and nobody saying anything to me or anything to each other. And I said, Captain, I'd like to ride a jump seat down. And he said, okay, have a seat. And they'll have one jump seat right behind him. And I said, okay, thank you, sir. So we take off, and nobody's saying anything to anybody about anything except doing the checklist and, you know, the stuff you got through. Nobody's talking to anybody. And I said, well, this must be a pretty grouchy captain, you know, because co-pilots normally would talk to somebody, but this guy, and we level off a cruise, and he gets an apple out, and he pulls a knife out, and he starts peeling that apple. And we're just flying along 35,000 feet, and he turns his head around to his left to talk to me. Nobody said a word to me until this. And he says, where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from Mississippi, and I'm going down to Atlanta. And, you know, and he didn't say anything. Like, I guess he didn't ask me where I was going because he knew where I was going. And he just didn't say anything. He took a bite of apple. Then he said, staring straight ahead, he said, I used to know a gal in Mississippi. I said, I leaned forward, And he said, I used to lend out the pasture. And she'd get a picnic basket and bring out. I said, And I was sitting there thinking, golly. And he said, yeah, that was a long time ago. Co-pilot, engineer, not saying anything. And he's sort of reminiscing, thinking about days gone by and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, this can't be true. But I leaned forward and I asked him, was her name Ruby? And he stiffened up, stared straight ahead, you know. And he turned real slow back around and looked at me. I mean to tell you, he looked at me. And I just wished the hell out of thought and put my hand on his shoulder and say, Dad. But I didn't say that.
That's a good one.
It is a true story, absolutely positively true. And the reason I thought about it was because he was based in New Orleans, and his name was Lord Moreau, and his widow just died because her repartee magazine was returned about 3 weeks ago, and that tells us that he died a long time ago. And I never flew with him again. I never saw him again. But I just thought, what a hell of a goodness coincidence that was. God, if I had just thought and said, Dad,
Jim told me that story, and I said, we gotta do it on on the radio, because I met Lloyd Monroe one time in New Orleans, and we were downstairs. They had this employee cafe, employee restaurant, and anyone having eaten in that employee restaurant, they love the gumbo and jambalaya, and absolutely the best food in Louisiana, I think, was served at the Moissant Airport in the crew restaurant. And I was with, I sat down beside George Griner, Captain George Griner, who was at one time the chief pilot of New Orleans. And, of course, his brother was Justin Griner. Everybody knew, especially the flight attendants, all knew Justin. And we were sitting there in conversation, and this guy walks in, and George introduced me to him. It was Lloyd Monroe. And, of course, the conversation went straight to what Lloyd enjoyed most, and that was fishing, because Lloyd really loved it. That was his real
hobby.
Well,
let me tell you what transpired after, you know, he looked at me. And, of course, obviously he said, "Hi, where did you come up with this?" And I said, "Well," he told me that that the guy that she knew was flying up an airline and flying mainly New York to Miami, you know. And so apparently he had some contact with her or something. But he wanted to know, you know, what was going on with her, how I knew her and everything. But, of course, I hadn't seen her in 6 or 7 years or so. And I told him she had a little dance band, and she went around. She was a singer, and she went around and made extra money locally around Jackson and everything. And he was really, I mean, he talked to me all the way to Atlanta, you know, about her and what was going on. But he and I agree, that was one hell of a coincidence. But I never saw him again. That was the only time I ever saw Lloyd.
Well, I had one similar.
I got another short. Oh,
yeah, short. Make it short, because we're running out
real
of time.
Real short. This is a baggage story. I had a Samsonite two-suiter when I went to work for Eastern Airlines. And I drug that thing all, you know, big old gold-looking amber tan thing, and I drug that thing around. It was way overkill, you know, for a guy flying one layover. And I left it in operations in Atlanta one time, and I went somewhere. When I came back, now this is a god-awful story, don't doubt me. I won't mention the guy's name, but he was one heavyweight captain. And when I came back, he was sitting on my suitcase in Atlanta operations, and damn if he didn't break it, split it.
Okay.
And that is a true story, and I won't mention his name. He's dead now, been dead a long time. But he was really big, and he sat on my suitcase because it was probably about ready to fall apart anyhow.
What year was that? What year was that, Jim?
That was like 60. I'd say that was probably the winter of 64, somewhere along in there. Cause
his first
I had to
name
go
was
and get
Jack.
Another suitcase.
I worked in
yes,
an operation.
Yes, his first name was Jack.
63, 63.
I know who you're talking about.
Yep, you know who I'm talking about. His first name was Jack. But he busted a Samsonite two-suiter. Now, that's pretty damn heavy.
Yeah.
Sounds
he
like
was bigger than a gorilla.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his first
wow.
name was Jack.
Yeah.
Do we have
great,
any callers
great.
From 770, Neil?
Yeah, we
me.
Sure do. We have a caller 500, 770-500. Are you still listening?
Yes, I am.
Who's this?
I'm a friend of Jim Holder's. My name is Jim Town.
Hey, Jim.
My dad was a captain with Eastern Airlines.
And what was your father's name?
Captain Paul Town.
Paul Town. Okay. I never
he
knew
was
about
the captain
Paul.
On the,
years in,
he was the captain on the two-engine takeoff out of Mexico City, Neil.
Oh.
That's
oh,
Jim's
what?
Dad.
Yeah.
He lost the
yeah.
engine, remember?
Yeah. And you guys had a great program in one of your luncheons, didn't you? I think you were the guest speaker,
yeah,
weren't you, Jim?
Yeah, we did it in for the RIPA luncheon, and then we did it at the QB's. Dinner.
Yeah, the Griffin QBs, we did it down there, and it's about a 40-minute show with slides and all that kind of stuff. Jim put a tremendous amount of work in preparing that, and tell them about how you went to California back in May, Jim.
Well, we went, the whole thing started when this writer-director contacted Jim Holder and wanted to find out if that flight ever happened. And Jim let him know that, yes, it did happen, and he happened to know the son of the pilot who was flying that flight. So we ended up, I found out all the information. I was able to meet Mark Gordon and Bruce Beacon, who was the first officer and second officer. And last month, or in May, May 18th, the writer-director flew us all out to L.A., and we did a on-camera type interview. I was just like there representing my father. And it was in a studio, and it seems kind of weird how they do that stuff, because when you see how it's going to be like we were in a cockpit of a 1011. And he was trying to make it go like a play-by-play as what happened on that flight. I don't know when it's going to be done. I'm sure it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I said it's y'all did on the blue screen.
No, it wasn't. There wasn't any color or anything. He just said that when he's done, they did several different takes. One was like in the cockpit, and one was like where the elevator going to the lower galley, where they came out of that, and he was talking to Mark Gordon about like that's the oven door where the ghost appeared.
Yeah.
Well,
aircraft
313
hailed
the
ghost ship. It's a ghost ship.
Yeah. Who was the script writer for the one that you were in, Jim?
Now you got me in it. I can't remember.
What was it?
Sam. Mike Sam,
can't,
didn't
can't,
it? So man,
is
Michael
there any, okay.
Michael
is there any way
his,
we might be able to see it by going to the internet to pick?
Not yet, because he did it, and he told me he was going to the Northeast for several weeks, and then when he gets back to L.A., he was going to just begin on the putting it together, doing all the editing and stuff like that.
The reason I
asked
that...
You sent George Jen a CD, didn't you? George, are you home?
Yeah,
did
I'm
you get
here.
The CD?
Yes. I did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay,
Jim
recorded.
He recorded the second time when they did it, two B's, and he sent a DVD to George Jen of it.
Well,
yeah,
the reason I'm asking is that we had... a similar thing, of course, a 1011 with the three-engine failure with Steve Thompson as a check captain, with Bodie as a captain that was being checked. I forgot his first name. And that was, from Miami to Nassau, and they turned around and came back to Miami. Landed successfully, and it was written up, and it was Steve sent it to me, and we converted that into a great show. We've done it twice. Because it was, we took the script and then added the characters. Of course, Steve played himself in that flight to, I forgot, 585 or something like that. And I just wondered if, later on after whatever happens to yours, Jim, we could do something like that. It sounded like it would be very interesting to put it on radio.
I know. I don't know how long. I'm guessing it's going to be months from now, just because of the, these guys real busy going around. But it was real interesting the way they did it. You're thinking like in some of the movies where they do most of the stuff on the computer, putting the background and things like that.
Yeah.
But I never knew any of this stuff. The only thing I ever had was a letter that I had, my dad had gotten for that flight. And then once Jim Holder was able to find out who the pilots were, those guys were incredible. Just all the things that they flew with my dad for several years, ferrying different ferries. And it was just wonderful to hear all the nice things that they had to say.
Very good.
My dad was
excellent.
More reserved. He never really talked about anything because in World War II, he was a V-17 pilot.
Uh-huh.
And he flew 50 missions in World War II, and that's where I think he got all the experience that he needed to do what he did.
Yeah. Well, we'd certainly, if it's all possible, that if there is a script, we'd sure like to do something on the radio show because we can put some sound effects in there. We did on Steve's flight, the 1011. But at any rate, real good having you with us tonight. Thanks so much for sharing that with
Jim
us.
Jim told me about it, and I said, okay, I'll listen. I mean, it was pretty interesting.
Well, why don't you come back and be with us some more? We could certainly use the help.
Okay. Yeah, right now, okay. I've just been home since 2016.
Yeah.
I've had shoulder surgeries, and I still have to have more.
Well, I'm sorry to hear
that.
I hope you heal fast, and Dorothy's going to tell you how to get on our website and become one of our regular members and so forth. Right, Dorothy? Thank you so much.
I sure will. Thank you. Anyone that would like to do that, to go to our website, it's www.ealradioshow.com.
Well, I was looking at it earlier.
Oh, okay.
Before,
so you know how to go in
before.
And... Right. I'll tell on the right-hand side, you just register and takes you right in, to tells you everything that you need to do, and you certainly would love to have you. That would be great.
I was listening
Thank
to something.
You.
I remember back when they used to serve a meal.
Yes. Well, let me tell
You're
you
an
one old-timer. Of the things I would like to mention that I put on the home page of our website today, Flight 401 Memorial in Miami, Florida. Survivor and friend Ron Infantino has had a meeting with the council member and the president of the Historical Society for the City of Miami Springs about donating a place for a Flight 401 memorial. The mayor is on board with donating a place for the memorial, but the next step is to go before the city council. If you are in the Miami area, they would love to have you, to see you there. We would like to have a big showing at the city council meeting to show support for the cause. Ron will have a presentation, and the room will be filled with Flight 401 material. All you need to do is to show up August 13th at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at the Miami Springs City Hospital, 201 Westwood Drive, Miami Springs, Florida, 33166. That information is on the homepage of our website at www.ealradioshow.com. We also have some upcoming shows. Our one on July 16th, next week, is going to be Remembrance of Amelia Earhart's Flight Around the World trip, which was memorialized July 2nd. And her date was July 2nd, 1937, so we plan to have that July 16th. Following that, we're going to have an interview with Captain Valerie Cody Cove, a retired Aeroflot airline pilot, and that, of course, will be the date hasn't been, I think it's 23rd of July, but I'm confirming that with Captain Neil.
Yeah, that's correct. Captain Val Kudjikov.
Kudjikov, okay. I like that better. we have July 30th coming up, Eastern History Set to Music, so that'll be another great episode. But don't forget our Thursday episode, July 12th is coming up, old-time radio show, and it's going to be at 3 o'clock with Captain Neil and Don Gagnon as guest hosts. Also, from the Eastern Files will be on Thursday, July 19th. Unfortunately, last week we had to postpone because Neil was not able to do so. But that all of that is on our website along with our breaking news that we announced tonight. I'd just like to remind everyone about the Eastern Airline Brat Facebook page. We see a lot of people that are starting to use that page, and we're thankful for that. That is Liz Minuto had started that page, and so be sure to go in and sign up. And also, if you'd like to be on our next Eastern Brat 3 episode, to please send us a note to host@ealradioshow.com. And we'd love to have you join us when we begin the third Eastern Brat show. And we have a list of our sponsors, as I've mentioned in the past. They're also on our website page. We have a membership still at $9.88. We're looking for more members, so please talk to your friends and let them know that our membership is free, and we would love to have you. Jim, okay. We have the 48th Annual REAPA Convention at the Francis Marion Hotel. That's going to be September 4th to September 7th, and all the applications and the downloads can either be found on the REAPA website, or if you get the repartee, they're in the section page of both the instructions in the application. All right, back to you, Neil.
Eastern Flight 373, you're cleared to land on runway 27 right. Winds are calm, and if you can make the first turnoff, I would certainly appreciate it. We have a Delta jet with a man on the wing of the aircraft at the far end of the runway.
Roger, Tower. Tower, is this a twilight zone or what? You know, last week about this time, Delta had an oversold flight with a man on the wing. Something funny going on here. Anyhow, we're cleared to land. We're coming on in.
Roger, 373, you're cleared to land.
Don't blow his underwear off.
Captain Steve, as usual, be sure to tune in again next Monday at 7 p.m. when Eastern Flight 373, America's favorite way to fly, takes off for another wonderful Eastern adventure. That's our show for tonight, folks. We thank all participating in tonight's broadcast, and especially our listeners. We love you guys. With this, we take a line from the stories from Lake Wobegon, where all Eastern women are unequaled, all Eastern men are good-looking, and all the Eastern children and Eastern grandchildren are way above average, and they're not brats at all. Until we say, until then, good night, Eastern family. We love you, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern.
We love you, Eastern. Thank you, folks. It was a great show.
Good show.
Thanks
Neil.
So much.
It was excellent. Thank
good
you.
Good job.